Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I did a lot of writing in my life.
I know. I graded it a lot.
What do you anticipate would put together for you?
You English majors trying to write about sports.
Rewrite your column now.
Wow. That is harsh. That hurt.
Can I have another Shakespeare reference, please?
To be or not to be. That is the question.
I don't think I was a difficult grader when I was... I love teaching.
My problem is, like, when I start correcting some kind of writing... I just want to rewrite it.
I got to write it ebonically.
Like, I don't want to, like, redo the lead.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, listen, why don't you try something like this? Why don't you show a tiny bit of flair?
We need to talk. Do you know what this is about?
My flair?
Yeah. Or your lack of flair, because I'm counting and I only see 15 pieces. Let me ask you a question, Joanna. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, you guys talk about once-in-a-lifetime talent, man. You guys are once-in-a-lifetime sports casting crew, man. I love you guys, man.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, the draft's in the books. And speaking of the Bard, that's the kind of play he would write. Some of the storylines in the Bears draft, the twists and the turns, and some of the glorious characters that they have now brought to the fine city of Chicago, right out of Shakespeare.
Good morning, Mully. Yes, it is a happy Monday. As we said Saturday during our special draft show, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this draft class, this five-member draft class was authored by a football executive or a screenwriter because they all have great stories. They all have great backgrounds. They're all leading characters, and they have charisma and polish and a little pizzazz. And you're right. This is going to be a lot of fun to see how this plays out, if you will. And a little drama along the way.
As I told you, on Saturday's draft show, the Justin Fields quote of why duck it belongs. We got to call the folks at Obvious Shirts because that is an obvious shirt to have for Bears fans.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah. What did I say? Did I say Fields again? Oh, my God.
That's okay.
I'm going to need a lobotomy.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. That is the T-shirt. I think when
That's
you talk
it.
About what this – what this weekend meant in the big picture for the Chicago Bears and what getting Caleb Williams implies. It's why duck expectations. And that is the T-shirt, that is the theme, and that is the takeaway because the Bears had their most impactful draft ever.
You know, it's another good T-shirt.
This millennium, let's say.
You're not going to punt much here.
Well, that was
you
great.
You could throw that little tweet onto it as well. That was awesome.
Caleb Williams taking a leadership role already, texting everybody as they're drafted. Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, gets the text from Caleb Williams and says, "Well, you're not going to punt much here."
Oh, that's great. That was awesome.
I think that if he's not here to punt a lot, Torrey Taylor, he's here to punt strategically.
He's a weapon.
He is a weapon.
He's here to be a weapon.
He is a weapon. And he's one of the reasons why you feel like this is such an impactful draft. I don't know if there's one that we've covered. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you've covered more drafts of the Bears than I have. But going back to, again, turn of the century, back in the 2000s, I don't know if there's been a draft where potentially could see as much impact from these.
They had a draft one time where they took Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus.
That was the most impactful ever.
That's one of the greatest drafts ever. You get a couple Hall of Famers. But Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Kieran Amagaje, Torrey Taylor, Austin Booker. I've got a friend who's been touting Austin Booker for at least a week, 10 days, as we were talking about how they were going to draft, what were they going to get, and all that. He's looking for a pass rush specialist. That's like a nice piece to get late in a draft, to jump back into a draft for.
You jump back in the fifth round. You give up next year's fourth rounder. You think the price is worth it because this is a young man who I think is only 21 years old. And the projections of people you talk to in the industry say, you know, if he would have stayed in school, he'd be a first-round draft pick next year. Well, the Bears can afford to let him develop, and I think that's why it's a smart pick.
You know who he reminded me of? Dustin's guy. If you watch him play, he is a very tall drink of water. You know, he's got some Leonard Floyd.
Well, he's a natural 4-3 defensive end. He's
fifth round Leonard Floyd.
Fifth round Leonard
Floyd.
A lot Floyd.
Different.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can take a little more chances with guys at that spot, and that's why it was a smart move back into the draft. And then they were done. You know, you get your fifth round edge rusher, the project, if you will. And you're done because you don't want to spend any more draft capital than you need to. And that was a worthwhile investment. You addressed your most glaring need that was ignored. And they got some interesting – I'm glad that at least this is one of those years where we're not going to come in on a Monday morning and be like breathless over the undrafted free agent class.
Yeah. They got a couple of undrafted guys that were interesting.
But that's not the focus, you know.
That's a quarterback.
There have been years where that has been the focus, and we're arguing over if somebody's going to be the 53rd man or not.
This looks like a really good draft, and I agree. I pretty much agree with everything Ryan Pohl says these days, but I like that he said the draft fell for them because it really – you know, you're not going to get all the credit in the world for going out and getting players when you sit there and take what's given to you, but – go ahead and feel free to sit there and take what's given to you. Take the guys that fall to you and grab them and run and laugh about it.
Well, we've had too many examples, and we see it all the time in sports where people try to outsmart themselves and get a little too cute. And what Ryan Poles did was he resisted that urge if it ever presented itself, and he grasped the obvious, whether it was Roma Dunze at number 9 or really, I think, when you look at the Torrey Taylor in the fourth round – he, as Biggsy wrote,
so happy.
We'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. You know, Ryan Poles, like a lot of people, was enamored with and intrigued by Torrey Taylor as early as he left
the Senior Bowl,
kind of thinking about all the ways that he could help and enhance a defensive first football team.
You got to look at the Iowa punter. I'm telling you,
that guy's unbelievable.
He does freaky stuff.
And, I mean, who knows? Who knows what he'll end up doing? You see the guy? That's a big, strong man. That's a grown-arse man. He's like 26 years old.
He'll be 27 before he punts his first official punt for the Bears.
And if you watched him in college, he's not just a weapon. I mean, he's like he does stuff that you can't teach. It's like they got Ray Guy. I mean it. There's only one punter in the Hall of Fame, and it's Ray Guy. He won the Ray Guy Award.
Yes, he did.
If you watched him play for Iowa, and here's the thing, like I've been as a modest addition to what they need. I kept saying they need a late round draft pick because they've got to get better than Trenton Gill, and that's not taking a shot at the guy. But look at the numbers between these two guys and what they can do. I think it was Sumer Sports. You ever read Sumer Sports? They do a real good job. They wrote a story about how you never take a kicker. Whatever you do, don't take a kicker. Because a field goal kicker, number one, the league does a terrible job evaluating them. And number two, you can find that guy. You don't need to use a draft pick on him because it's not something that will necessarily carry over year from year. When you get a good kicker, you want him, you want to keep him, you want to invest in him. But on a year-to-year basis, it's difficult for kickers to be the same player. It's almost like a bullpen in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
However, they said, you can always draft a punter. Because punters, that is a repeatable seasonal activity. And when you are a punter, you impact the game a hell of a lot more than people realize. And I mean, if you start adding up the numbers, you can have a punter over the course of a season or win you a game.
Well,
field position wise.
I think it's a battle of hidden yardage, and
yes,
either you respect the punt or you don't, but it is an important play. And I just think it's almost in the context of this offseason, it feels like it's a luxury the Bears can't afford. It's
yes,
not a football amenity, if you will, that every team going into the draft can come out and say, you know what, in the fourth round, we're going to take one of our five picks. It was four at the time. And we're going to spend it on a specialist, because not every team feels like, you know how football people
sure
think. We don't have enough edge rushers. We don't have enough guards. We need another wide receiver. But I think what Ryan Poles did was, it was also very shrewd, because I've come around on this. What they were able to do in this draft, they got the best quarterback available.
Yeah.
They got one of the top three wide receivers available,
yes,
an elite player at that position. And then they got another specialist, the best at his position, in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So you were able to get three elite players out of the five you selected. So it totally makes sense, especially when you have a defensive-minded head coach who loves the idea of a punt and pin.
I mean, listen, who doesn't love that idea? If a guy can handle the ball the way this kid can do it, who doesn't love it? You're going to learn to love this guy. He's going to be a fun topic
of conversation
in the early parts of training camp. Except people are going to be like, what? Like, what he does is spectacular.
Here's what he did last year. He punted for more yards than the Iowa offense gained.
Yeah.
This was one of their most effective weapons, and I think that says a lot about the Iowa offense, but it also says a lot about how much they trusted him and how he came through.
Yeah.
In he's got an unorthodox, well, everything, doesn't he?
He's Australia.
Yeah,
he's the punter down under. I mean, what do you want?
The punter down under, and he's coming to Chicago. He's going to be a lot of fun. I loved hearing his hello to Bears fans and basically – hearing an Australian accent with saying bear down or go Bears.
What's up, Bears fans? Tory Taylor here. Really excited to be a Bear, and really just can't wait to get to work. Little loss of words at the moment still, and hasn't really sunk in, but really just appreciate all the coaches, and I know a lot of things go into this. So, yeah, like I said, really excited to be a Bear, and can't wait to get to work and move over to the city of Chicago, which isn't too far away. But, again, really appreciate everyone's support, and go Bears.
Go Bears.
Gabez, got to be the most exciting athlete to come out of Iowa since Caitlin Clark.
That was a fun one, and it's going to be a good laugh all the way around. I mean, again, I was calling for a punter because I just felt like they needed an upgrade at that position. And to get the best guy, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ryan Poles said he's the best punter he's ever seen.
Yes.
He's ever seen.
He has said, he
that'll,
did say that.
That'll stay with you. And if you've watched this guy, I mean, we talked to Pat about him on the pregame show, and Pat said that Olin, of all people, is in Iowa watching his kids play for Illinois, and he starts texting Pat, have you seen this kid? Like, what he can do is unbelievable. He really is, you know, it's stop traffic stuff. Well, so fantastic.
You were calling for him at a time where I don't know if you were just dissatisfied with the Bears punting situation, or you saw a guy who they could take advantage of is in the draft who was draftable. Not always the case with a punter, or maybe a combination of both, because it was one of those things where you don't go into a draft typically with punter on your to-do list.
My phone blew up after they took him, and I got to tell you, I called you, I called Dustin. I was so pumped up.
We had just talked about it.
We were on
9 to noon,
yes,
and it was fun with our draft special with Pat Manley,
yes,
who we asked about, and he got his stamp of approval. Shocking that a specialist would approve another specialist being drafted. And then we get out of here, and about 12:15-ish or around there, they they made it official.
Yeah, it was hysterical. God, that was great.
It was a lot of fun.
We literally had just talked about it. Is that kid from Iowa still alive?
Oh, I think he is.
Believe he's there. Let's go.
Molly, I've been listening to you, and I hear you pulling for a punter. I've got your back.
Don't
Obviously,
you?
I've got your back.
Did I make that up? Or
don't tell
that
Trenton Gill, but I've got your back.
That's just, something get a
punter.
Would help.
That here's, would just make this draft even better.
And here's another thing. I know they're not going to need to punt, but this kid, if you watch this kid from Iowa, I think he may come in and change the way people kick off. I think he may have the ability to do some weird thing with the ball as a kickoff guy on the new rules that could change the NFL. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. It's funny you say that because Olin went out there. I think Illinois played Iowa last year, and he texted me from. He's like, "Have you seen this Iowa kid?" I'm like, "No." But that even he even impressed Olin,
awesome.
Who doesn't care about kickers.
Yeah,
so that says a lot.
Olin doesn't want a punter. Oh, that's awesome. And it was a lot of fun. Just naturally talking about that, and then having it happen. I also somebody asked the question during. Someone asked if he can hold. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
And he's apparently okay as a holder.
Most punters are skilled at that, or at least have enough practice and time on their hands to practice that. So if he's not very good, I can't wait till next year's sixth round when they draft a holder for the first time.
See, now you're just being mean. Like I said, don't draft a kicker. I get it.
Has anybody ever drafted a holder?
No.
But I love his backstory because he was his passion originally was Australian rules football. As you would imagine, most kids.
He's from Melbourne.
Growing up, he's from Melbourne.
Melbourne? That's what they call it.
Okay.
I've been to Melbourne, so I know.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I mispronounced the phonetic spelling of it. Okay.
Dustin, you've been to Melbourne, haven't you, or just Sydney? Dustin's been to Australia.
And he was in construction management training or school. He wanted to go that route, and then he was intrigued by this kicking school, and the rest is history. Iowa needed a punter. Who from Iowa recruited Melbourne?
Someone said they went back and got another one after he graduated.
Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I think they learned the value of the Aussie
punter. Imagine that recruiting budget.
Yeah.
Imagine that expense report.
I have been to Australia. The thing that's so wild about Australia, like when you're just driving around, every other corner, it's not like a car repair shop. It's Smash Repair. They actually have stores that are called Smash Repair. They have just a different lingo.
Yeah.
It's so odd.
The jargon. Yeah. That
the water goes down the wrong way.
It is. It's a long way away. Pro Kick Australia. That's the organization. They have appeal is what their business is. They place Australian athletes at U.S. college football programs. Pro Kick Australia. And he went there after kind of figuring out, well, maybe I don't want to be a construction manager all my life. And that's why he's a little bit older, because it was a late kind of journey that he began. It's going to be 27 by the time the Bears – he turns 27 in July.
Yeah, so does Velus Jones.
He's two months younger.
Velus Jones turns 27 next month.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think he's that old.
Yeah.
But he's as old as DJ Moore.
That's unbelievable.
He's 2 months younger than DJ Moore.
When does Velus turn 27? I think he turns 27 in May. No?
I'm not sure about that.
Because he was 24.
I haven't thought about Velus Jones since the last time you mentioned him.
Well, you brought him up.
I did not bring him up. I haven't thought about Velus Jones this offseason unless you have mentioned him in a.
You've mentioned specialists.
I mentioned specialists. I didn't mention him by name.
How many catches?
May 11th.
May 11th. See? I'm monitoring it. 27, May 11th.
He's 27 on May 11th? Velus Jones is?
Yes.
Are we having a party?
May 1st is Wednesday?
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I'm with you.
We're zeroing in on that birthday. I hope you bought something. Suitcase.
Yeah, that would be a good start.
Don't be mean. There's no need to be mean. Anyway, so that was glorious. The White Sox, we just have to mention, they played this weekend. They had a good weekend.
They did. Shocking.
Andrew Benintendi now leads them in RBI. How about that?
Well,
he had he had four RBI in the first 20 whatever it was games, right? Well, what is the 25 games, whatever it was, and then over the weekend he had six in one game, he had two in another. He's now their leading RBI guy.
He's smoking hot. They doubled their win total. And for all the haters out there, they swept the Rays for the first sweep since last June.
Can I get up? Southside, stand up!
Yeah. Man. Did you hear the home run?
Yeah.
For all the haters out there.
I know. I did. That was a reference.
He gave a stand up for all the haters. Stand up!
I think, yeah, that was a little misguided, but everybody's got their style.
He's also, I mean, I think he must be hearing it. People don't like that or something, so he's doubling down.
Well, there's nothing
it.
To push back at. I mean, if you're a 3-22 team, and at the time maybe they were 4-22, whatever the case may be, there are going to be people that are not satisfied with the product.
Exactly. But he's referenced the haters.
Whatever.
To the haters out there, yeah. Southside, stand up.
Benintendi had a weekend. He had to walk off. And then Eric Fetty was very good yesterday. And
yeah, Eric Fetty.
I think that if people,
last two games, 20 Ks, zero walks.
It's impressive.
He's got like a 2.46 ERA.
It's impressive.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Best pitcher.
It's a low bar.
For the White Sox.
It's a low bar.
Best pitcher for the White
Sox. I don't disagree with that.
Korean League MVP.
I'm not a hater. I don't know why you're trying to start something.
I'm just saying he's their best
pitcher. I don't know why you're. Why are you going?
We asked
going
about
there?
It. We talked about it.
Why are you going there?
What's wrong with saying he's their best pitcher?
Who said he wasn't?
Well, you said low
no,
bar.
No, I didn't.
Was your only
I'm not a hater. Will you stop it?
How could you not be a hater when your response was low bar? The Cubs, that was a pity last night, man. I thought they had come back. The Tautman three-run homer. I thought that was all they needed in that game, and they end up walking off.
Michael Tauchman's playing very well.
He's on fire.
He's filling in admirably in whatever role you ask him to play. Mm-hmm. They come back after Saturday was embarrassing. Tough game.
It was a Sox loss. 17-0.
They lose to the Red Sox in those ugly, awful City Series softball uniforms that were yellow.
Those are terrible.
The Red Sox.
Yeah.
And they're wearing
yellow and blue?
Putrid yellow and blue.
That was explained to some Patriot thing?
Yeah, it's some tribute. And they need to stay in red. But anyway, yesterday, come back. Tauchman hits the homer, 4-4. And then in the ninth inning, Dansby Swanson can't come up with the – would have been a really good catch, over the shoulder, running away from shortstop into short left field, pops out of his glove. Would have been tough to
– they would have scored on that anyway.
I don't think so.
I think if he caught that ball – he'd have had to stand up and then throw home. I think
the runner was halfway down the line, though. The runner was not tagging up, and it should have been. And
yeah, he should have been.
So I think that probably would have maybe saved him.
Well,
I don't know. I think we'll never know. It doesn't matter. They lose. They lose a series, and they go into New York after losing 2 out of 3 in Boston. And it was a really fun start to the series on Friday night. But now they're banged up, too.
Well,
they are really banged up.
Explain this to me, and we'll get into all this stuff as we move forward, and we'll talk about it. You put Wicks on the IL, and he misses the start, which means he's going to miss, you know, two starts, right, at least. And then they said on the ESPN broadcast, and maybe I heard it wrong, but at the beginning of the broadcast, they said they're not even going to give him an MRI, that it's nothing, and they're not worried about it at all. They're not going to give an MRI. If he's going to miss two starts, why don't you just give him an MRI? I mean, I don't understand that at all. If he's on the IL, what the hell's wrong with giving him an MRI? You're afraid of finding something?
I don't know.
That was weird.
I don't know.
Would you announce no MRI?
Maybe they don't want to make everybody overreact. Maybe they're...
What's wrong with an MRI? Let's get him to this morning.
I'm with you. It's a forearm. You hear a forearm injury and you think Tommy John surgery.
They've already hit their maximum allowance of MRIs this month, so they're waiting until May so they don't have to pay extra.
The deductible?
Drive up to the Hellas Hall. Don't they have an MRI machine there?
I mean, unfortunately, that's all they're doing is MRIs over there.
I don't know if – I don't know the reason why, and I don't know if losing Jordan Wicks for two weeks is going to change much, but it is another blow. They've now lost 4 starting pitchers.
Right.
To the injured list for a stint in the first month of the season. A month ago today, we're talking about opening day. Since that point, the Cubs have dealt with four starting pitchers on the injured list. And they're still like a half game out of first. Still like flirting with the Brewers for first place in the division. They're still in contention. So just survive in advance. Another series, you know. They lose to Boston, but they were in it. Beat the Mets. Got Jameson Taillon going tonight against his former teammate. I think Severino's on the mound for the Mets. Two ex-Yankee pitchers. Win this series. Come home.
Let's do a whip around or get like an MRI fund going. I mean, as long as you're not going to be pitching, why not? Are you just going to be here? Are you going to watch the whole game? Let's watch you go in the clubhouse and get an MRI. I mean, I didn't understand that.
Well, maybe they know what it is and what it isn't.
Well, there's nothing wrong with more information. MRIs reveal too much.
Maybe they're afraid of what they might find.
That's what I'm asking. It was just weird that they made an announcement they're not giving him an MRI.
Oh, the thing what was weird about it to me was that it was unexpected.
Yes.
We expected Jordan Wicks to be the guy that was, you know, taking the ball on the mound, making a start, and no. Hate those kind of surprises.
Yeah,
the worst
especially
kind.
When they don't work out in your favor. All right, we got the pick six next. We're going to tear apart all the stories of the day. We're going to go at it like a bear claw, not like the donut.
The Caleb claw.
The Caleb claw.
Why
did it take so long to come up with that one? That's going to be
a thing.
I'm
telling you, this guy's an innovator.
That's going to be a thing.
The Caleb claw is a thing.
It's a thing already.
Paint your nails, make the Caleb claw.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Pick six next, Mully and Haw on the score.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Caleb. The Bears.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What's your greatest takeaway from the Bears draft? Can you grade it, please, and assess how much it will speed up the rebuild?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the greatest takeaway is that they got the quarterback. And I think that, you know, as well as they did all over the draft, it's going to come down to the one player. and how well he adapts and how good he is and how quickly he becomes what you believe he can be. And, I mean, they have set him up to succeed. And it is – it's now incumbent upon Shane Waldron, everyone up there, to make sure that this pays off in the way that it should. It's a hell of a receiving core. I love the Roma Dunze pick. But, I mean, it all comes down to quarterback. I love the story with the kid from Hinsdale Central. It was hilarious to read his, like, Bear fan tweets. Someone posted some of the stuff of the pain he was in watching the team. I mean, that guy's a Bear fan. So that was super cool. We talked about the punter from Australia. There's so much to like about it. We haven't even talked about the fact that when you break the whole thing down and how they use the assets of the draft and bringing in Montez Sweat, and he's the ultimate multiplier on that defense, and you look at Keenan Allen, a six-time Pro Bowler coming here, and you look at Ryan Bates, who's supposed to solve a problem in the middle of the offensive line, you're talking about like six starters out of a draft starting immediately next year. So this does speed the process. It'll come down to the quarterback. You get an A. You get an A for that draft without a doubt. But it's all about the quarterback, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I would give it an A right now on paper. That is an A, probably an A+. Now the heat, right? The heat is on Shane Waldron. The heat is on Caleb Williams. Can these two get it going and get the Bears going in the right direction? A lot of fun stories, as you guys mentioned in the open. You know, local guy made good. Buddy of mine is a coach over at Hinsdale Central. You know, offered to come on and talk about the kid. It's a fun story. Lots of fun stories all around, and looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about this pass rusher as well at 7:25.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway is that it's a transformational draft for the Bears. As people were framing it beforehand, Ryan Poles delivered. And I agree with him when he said on Sunday, or Saturday, I believe it was, that this is a new chapter for Bears football. We're looking at the Bears differently. The whole league is looking at the Bears differently. Whole league's looking at the Bears, period. And so this draft specifically maxed out. You were able to use all of your assets for meaningful reasons, and whether it was using draft picks and trading them for proven players or using the ones you had left for prospects. All five of the draft picks that you made over the weekend had a specific purpose. And you've got two guys who were probably projects in Amagaji and Austin Booker. Those guys could help maybe next year, but certainly their traits guys, they're going to help for a while. You envision them fitting in ways that are playing meaningful roles, maybe as rookies, maybe not. Doesn't matter as much as the other three, who are three players who are elite at their position. In the case of Caleb Williams and Torrey Taylor, the best at their position available. And Roma Dunze could be as impactful as anybody that joins the team in 2024. So this was the best case scenario for the Bears. And congratulations to Ryan Poles, who put together an A class of draft picks.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Pick six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit feelgreatillinois.com and learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. All right, on the one hand, the Bears joined the modern NFL by drafting the best quarterback and an elite wide receiver at number nine, potentially giving the team its most potent offense in years. On the other, they still have a top 10 defense that's improved and defensive-minded head coach likes to run the ball. So what is the identity of this, quote, new Bears, end quote, team Ryan Poles is referring to?
We talked about this a little bit on Saturday during the draft show. I think it's an interesting question because it does kind of force you to look at the Bears maybe differently, or you're tempted to look at the Bears differently because they have all this weaponry. They did draft touchdowns, and it is the modern age that they're adapting to finally. Finally, they've got the weaponry. Finally, they've got the quarterback. Finally, maybe they have the offensive coordinator who's going to tailor his scheme around the talent rather than the other way around. But you still have a defensive-minded head coach, and you still have a defense that's ahead of your offense. And why do I say that? It's because it's more proven. And I don't think you need to rush into embracing all that comes with being this, you know, the greatest show on natural grass or whatever the case is you want to coin it. You don't have to try to get too far ahead of yourselves offensively. Let that develop and let Caleb Williams grow at a rate that is conducive to his skill set. You don't want to put too much pressure on him, even though it's an enormous amount of pressure that he might feel. Still, you're going to win with defense. You're going to win with field position, and you want to probably lean on the running game as much as you have in the past. Your identity doesn't have to be the finesse team. You can still punch people in the mouth and still be the physical team and still be tough and all those things. And then the identity may eventually change. You know, Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar, you hope he's going to be a superstar. He's already a celebrity. He's already a guy that's going to be the face of your franchise. But I don't think you need to overreact necessarily. Defense, running game, let him ease into the job as much as anything, and then your identity will take care of itself.
Well, there's three phases of football: offense, defense, special teams, and the Bears have addressed all of that. You know, towards the end of last season, they addressed the defense more, you know, trading for Montez Sweat, using draft capital to get that guy. Obviously, they did what they did at 1-9. We had fun with it, but in all seriousness, then they drafted a punter who is setting all kinds of records at the collegiate level. They have a good place kicker. They rewarded him towards the end of last season with a new contract. So now they've got all three phases. And as Ryan Pohl said Saturday, now it's time. Now it's time to start the new chapter and put, you know, in the work to actually get to where we're all hoping they can get to.
Yeah, their identity is going to shift from being a running team to a passing team. That's fairly obvious. The Bears went through, I believe, 9 offensive coordinators in their search before hiring Shane Waldron, and he didn't need a second interview. They just hired him after going through all those interviews. But they, they got a guy who came in here. I guess Seattle was 7th in pass plays a year ago, 26th in runs, and the Bears were 30th in runs. 30th in passes and 3rd. And design runs. So they're going to throw the ball more than they're going to run the ball. I think you always want balance, but I think this is a passing offense. And I think that with Caleb Williams here, my hope is that it's a controlled passing game. I hope that they march down the field and they use the passing game. They use all the variety of different passes available to them, and they don't just kind of go down the field, but when you know when it has to happen that they're going to have those plays available to them. And I think that with this receiving core, I don't think we're going to see a lot of balls on the ground. I think you got two of the best receivers out there in terms of Odunze and the way he does on contested catches based on his college play. And Keenan Allen is great on contested catches. And DJ Moore can catch anything, and we know what his run after the catch skills are. So I'm envisioning the Bears throwing the ball more and marching down the field more. I think it's going to be a ton of fun to see this offense.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 9 a.m. this Monday with Mully and Hall. What's your take on the new Bears punter? Torrey Taylor was taking a specialist that early in the 4th round. An indulgence or a stroke of genius?
Well, I would say the answer is yes. The answer is yes. It is both an indulgence and a stroke of genius. It's an indulgence just because, you know, you still hadn't gotten to the pass rusher. And I think if we came in here this morning and they hadn't gone back and gotten a rush specialist, we'd all be talking about it and scratching our heads a little bit. I think this is different than taking a specialist. This is a guy who kind of stands alone. And it's a very, you know, the Bears once used a second round pick on Todd Sauerbrunn. You realize that, right? This is a 4th round pick. Maybe the reason that people kind of sat up is because they had so few picks in the draft. And that was the 4th of 4. And that was going to be the end of the draft. And then they got back in for the pass rusher, which I think is a necessary thing. But if you came away from that draft with this player, This is, you know, I would argue that he's going to be the best punter in the league for a number of years. He was that good in college, and he was that transformative for the team he played for. Now the argument is if you're taking a guy that can throw and you're taking a guy that can catch, it's really not planning on punting the ball very often. You know, do you need a punter if you're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, I would say that there's a huge difference for a team that is, you know, rallying to try to beat you and has to go 60 yards to do so versus 80 yards to do so. So I think that this is going to help them in key moments of games. I think he's got this incredible ability to stop the ball in its travel, much like a professional golfer. He can just lay the ball down different places. He can hit a target. They said that you could have this guy kick from the 50 and put it in a trash can on the goal line. I mean, that's how good a punter he is. Move it from side to side, whatever you want to do. So I think this is different because this is such an extraordinary weapon.
I mean, that's a wild that's wild that he could do that. I think it's great. I think, Mully, I told you on the phone over the weekend. I mean, listen, you got 22 starters, 11 on each side of the ball. If you include your place kicker and your punter, that's 24 starters. I mean, this is a starter, as you just said, for, you know, with health, 8 to 10 years, this guy is going to be doing this. So I don't think it's a super stretch to get a starter, somebody who's going to be your A guy at a position for the next half a decade at the bare minimum. So no, I don't think it's an indulgence. I think it was the right move. I think it's a smart move. I love, and we talked about it on the air even before they did it. Well, wait a minute. If you're drafting Caleb Williams, which we knew they were going to do, why would you need this guy? And then Caleb Williams came off the top rope and goofed around with the guy on social media. So they're already having fun about it. So listen, it's great. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
I think even when you have the more potent your offense is, the more obvious you need a punter because you're going to be good. And good teams don't have these kind of weaknesses, and so the Bears addressed that. I don't know that it was necessarily an indulgence. It may have seemed like one to some people, but you could totally defend it, especially when you have a defensive-minded head coach whose philosophy is rooted in valuing the punt as much as Matt Eberflus's philosophy is. This is the highest punter taken since the 49ers back in 2019 took Mitch Wishnowsky. He's never made a Pro Bowl, still on that roster. Remember, people always mention Sauerbrunn with the Bears, and certainly that's a good reference from 95. But they took Chris Gardocki, who was good for a couple of years and ended up having a pretty good NFL career. So it can be done. It has been done. And it makes sense for a team that had addressed other needs with their draft capital. You know, they were smart to come back into the fifth round and get the edge rusher that they lacked. But when you can get an elite player who's the best at his position with a fourth-round draft pick, I think you take advantage because you don't want to have any weaknesses in your special teams. And now they have a kicker they invested in Cairo Santos, that makes a lot of sense. And they have a punter that could be here for a pretty long time. Who's older, by the way? Is he older than Cairo Santos? Because that's the other thing you wonder, is how he's going to age. Punters age pretty well, though.
That's a good question to ask.
He's like 6'4", 230, too. He's like a big dude.
Can he arm wrestle?
I'm guessing so.
Could he beat Bajan's dad?
With his leg.
With Jordan Wicks becoming the fourth Cubs starting pitcher to hit the injured list in the first month of the season, how much can one team take? Does it give you more confidence in the season because of the way the depth has come through, or less confidence because you fear attrition eventually is going to catch up with them?
I think it's catching up with them now, and it could this spin through. Going to New York, you wonder what shape they're in. You hope Jameson Taillon can have a good start. You go, then you come home, and you hope that against the Brewers, it's a good series. But four starting pitchers on the injured list in the first month of the season is really no way to start a season that you hope ends with a division title. Very difficult. And then you consider Cody Bellinger out, Seiya Suzuki out. You've got two of your best players, perhaps your two best hitters, and four starting pitchers. And, oh, by the way, Julian Merriweather, one of your most versatile bullpen pieces. All these injuries. Craig Counsell's not complaining. This is a good test of the Cubs' resolve. They've been resilient. So, to me, yes, you bemoan what's not there. But I think you're encouraged the fact that they're still where they are in the standings have won as many games as they have, and they have done more with less. That was the rep on Craig Counsell. He's backed it up in the first month. Let's just hope doesn't have to spend the entire season proving how capable he is of winning without the Cubs' healthy roster.
It's a bit concerning, of course. We've seen it all over baseball. Something seems to be up. Something seems to be going on. I'm not sure if it's the spinning of the ball, the pitch clock people want to blame it on, if it's just a thing. It's not great news, but it is showing depth. Wasn't thrilled with Ben Brown's start the other day out at Boston, so not sure how many spins around the rotation he's going to get. But it does sound like Justin Steele's right around the corner
Wednesday,
right? So he's going to make that minor league start on Wednesday. And the question I really have is, he needs the one for sure. Does he need two? You know, because of these injuries, do they bring him back a little bit sooner? Obviously, he'd be on a pitch limit right off the bat. But if you get David shaking his head, doesn't like that idea. We'll wait and see. But listen, if you told me again, based on the injuries and the schedule that was presented to them, that they'd be where they're at as we're running out of April, I'd have been pretty happy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they've done very well, given how difficult April was going to be for them. Jordan Wicks, you know, I guess he felt something after his last start, and he felt something before this one. Okay, why not check it out? I mean, you're going to give him a couple games off. I mean, holy cow. And they said that it's nothing and they don't worry about it. Okay, well, that's good. It is nice that Steele's coming back, and hopefully sooner than later. I would not rush him, though, depending on the injuries you have. Am I wrong to think, and I mean, listen, Mark Leiter Jr. is a good pitcher. He comes in yesterday and he walks a guy.
Oh, man.
The leadoff walk, especially when you're in a walk-off situation, it's just a killer. That's just a killer. And I'm not getting on him, but I don't think they're a problem. They've been doing okay with their starting pitching. They're getting... At some point, they're probably going to have to make a trade on the back end, right? Get the Rick Sutcliffe of relievers and let him come in here and lock down every game the rest of the way, and that'll solve one of the bigger issues. So, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Merriweather. What's his status? That's a bad injury. Sounded like you can't sleep with that injury, let alone come back in a hurry. So, I don't know. I just worry about the back end of the bullpen more than anything else.
That's a good question.
All right, with four hits in his first 10 at-bats, including clutch home run, Pete Crow Armstrong looks more like the Cubs' top prospect than he did last September. How realistic is it that PCA spends the summer in Chicago? What's his best role on this team, and does he have one after Cody Bellinger returns?
Well, his best role on the team is as a defensive replacement, if indeed Bellinger gets back. He doesn't really have a role when Bellinger returns, if you want to be brutally honest about it. It's why he wasn't up to begin with, and they thought he could get more at-bats in Iowa. And, I like PCA. I think he's a good player. He's on the way. I just don't know why... I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know that he spends the summer in Chicago. I think they need him now, and he's there, and he's a really good defensive player. But when Bellinger comes back, is his development, is it better in the minor leagues with more at-bats on a regular basis, or is it better hanging around the major league club and picking up whatever scrap at-bats are there while being a defensive replacement? I think that given the way Tauchman's playing, given the way, Seiya presumably comes back and Bellinger comes back, I don't know that he's not going back to Iowa.
Yeah, probably. But and also part of this equation is the way Michael Bush has secured first base, right? So there was some thought if Bush doesn't get off to a good start, if he's struggling, you put Bellinger at first base and then PCA would take the role out in center field. That seems like his position. But I think he might be around, Mully, until you mentioned, say, Suzuki when you were answering your part of it. Like, I think you got to have Suzuki and Bellinger both back. Not that Talkman's done a really nice job, but if, you know, he can't play every single day. So I think until both Suzuki and Bellinger are back, I think PCA stays up. But yeah, he still needs to work on his hitting. But I think that home run was huge. It took the weight of the world off the shoulders, and he had some really nice at bats out in Boston.
Confidence builder. He's hitting .385. The knock on him was that he couldn't hit, and that was going to keep him in Iowa all season long. So I don't know. I think the purpose of the question, I think, would be, or the takeaway for me is that you don't have to decide yet. And I don't think it's as obvious. And that almost is the answer. It's not obvious that he's going down. I don't know that you want to take him away. It is a balancing act with every prospect, is that if you can contribute in a meaningful way to the major league team, then you have every reason to be here. And that takes precedent over developing his individual skills or rounding out his game at AAA. So you're the Cubs, you're in contention, you're looking at that division as a tough one to win. If PCA can help you win a game every 2 weeks, or he contributes once a week in a meaningful way, he's worth keeping. And if he's not an offensive liability any longer, and he finally gets the stroke at the major league level you've seen at the minor league level, I'm not as convinced that I would send him down immediately. I would wait until both outfielders are back, and then make a determination then. And I'm not sure it's an obvious equation. You look at the DH role, Matt Mervis, 133, that's not cutting it. Somebody's got to be the designated hitter. Maybe PCA can be the guy in the field and give Suzuki or Bellinger days as DH and kind of rest him there. I don't know. He could be a valuable piece moving forward.
I'm just answering your question.
How do you explain the White Sox recording their first sweep since last June and doubling their season win total over the weekend? You credit Andrew Benintendi's bat, or is it the Tommy Pham factor, or is it Pedro's prowess?
Oh, my gosh. This is like embarrassment of riches suddenly. Pedro's prowess? That's just alliterative. There's none of that going on.
That might be a joke. That might be a search for alliteration.
That is just a search for alliteration. Thank you, Molly, for fessing up to that question.
Yeah.
Tommy Pham, fantastic. Okay, maybe. He's a very serious man. I don't know if you've heard. He's very intense. He's a stern guy in that clubhouse. That's the storyline. Okay, and if you don't like it, he'll slap you. I think that the Sox got a really good start from Fetty. Benintendi finally started to hit his weight, and they got a sweep of the Rays. It's awesome. It's an awesome weekend on the South Side for all you haters out there. Take that.
That's not it. It's okay. Outside standing.
Oh, stop. I'm getting my cliches mixed up.
You're confusing the two guys.
I'm confusing my two embellishers. I'm sorry.
I do have a couple of buddies that are big White Sox fans, and the one texted me, and he said, "That's an embarrassment." And I said, "What's an embarrassment?" He's like, "That guy who replaced the TV booth is in an absolute embarrassment." Baby. And you know what else was? Was Jerry paying attention Saturday night? You see how many people were there?
28,000. The
place was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a gorgeous night.
Beautiful Saturday night.
And they won. And they gave away the hockey jersey.
And the giveaway might have been part of it.
Now I know.
Right?
Why didn't you go?
Brooks was on
hockey
top
town.
Of it. You're,
but
how about
he
that?
He just spun his head around the, and you gave yourself whiplash.
Why were the White Sox hockey jerseys the same color as David's golf shirt today?
Yes. Lions blue.
Yeah. Honolulu blue. Kind of weird.
Tar Heel blue.
But I'm going to say it was the fact that Benintendi's bat. I mean, they finally got what they were paying for, right? That's what they expected out of Benintendi. And over the weekend, at least against the Rays, he was able to deliver.
Yeah, Tommy Pham's had a hit in each game since he's come up, and they're unbeaten since Tommy Pham's come up. I loved Ozzie on the post game saying, you know, don't put that on him, because then once he goes 0 for 10, we're going to kill him. I thought that was very funny. But Tommy Pham has helped. They've gotten better ball players in there. Listen, Andrew Benintendi, we mentioned it earlier, he now leads them in RBI. He had 4 in the first 25 games. He got 6 on Saturday. He had 2 bombs, and he got 6 RBI, added another couple RBI yesterday. I believe they got 3-for-4 performances yesterday from both Aloy and from Gavin Sheets. So all of a sudden, Danny Mendick has been good since they brought him up. I know no one wants to hear it, but they, you know, they're not a young team. It's not like they're going for young guys. They're bringing up age, and they're bringing in even more age, but they finally scored some runs. The difference this weekend versus previous games is that they scored runs, and they scored 9 runs in a game, which was a season high. So they got their first sweep since last June.
Yep.
Last June. Guess what? By the way, the I believe Miami lost again yesterday. They are no longer the worst team in baseball.
Oh, wow.
The White Sox are actually closing in.
Well, that seems worth celebrating.
On being the third worst team in baseball.
That's great. That's
so
progress.
It's been, you know, you can say what you want. All you haters.
I'm not a hater.
No, I just think it's hilarious to say people were hating on a team that couldn't get a hit and it got shut out 8 times. And, you know, that's not hating. That's reacting to a terrible team.
That's grasping the obvious.
Maybe the people are hating the home run call, whatever. But
that's a different story.
You know, Sox fans, stand up. Why don't you grow up, too, if you're really going to yell about haters? God help us. I loved it. I loved seeing the Sox win a series. It actually, you know, I was tuning in. I watch them still, which I can't admit to, but I do. And it was fun. It was a fun weekend. They won some games. What the hell? Eric Fetty was great yesterday.
Eric Fetty has been great the last couple times out.
That's right.
A lot to like about him. He's the race.
20 Ks, 0 walks.
He's the race.
See, you're making fun of it now.
I'm not. He's the race.
2.46 ERA.
Garrett Crochet goes tonight, right? I don't. Will he pitches tonight for the Sox.
They've got the Twins.
They got the Twins.
Is
back
the weather
going
to hold off?
Oh my gosh!
And we should have mentioned the weather because it rained like.
Be careful out there.
Yeah.
They're having issues.
There's standing water.
On the Dan Ryan, standing water near 31st Street. It's all over the place. Be careful out there.
Yeah, be careful on your way in. Give yourself a little extra time. It was raining really heavily when we came in. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Say it with me. Say it proud.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Where is your confidence level in Ryan Poles after his excellent team transforming draft, both with his picks and the use of draft assets? Would you like to talk about the Carolina trade for a bit?
They'll be talking about the Carolina trade for decades in Chicago. It may go down as one of the best trades ever in Chicago sports history, based on what you got in return and based on what those players did for the Bears in framing the future and giving Ryan Poles a foundation. He said that essentially a new chapter had begun. That's what happened over the weekend. The Ryan Poles, with this draft, has transformed the Bears organization. They're ready to win again. Relevance has returned, and he has regained the benefit of the doubt, or maybe he's earned it for the first time. That's what you saw over the weekend, I think, in this draft as much as anything. In this offseason, maybe, as much as anything. This is the equivalent of a player playing with a lot of confidence, a quarterback throwing in a way that he knows exactly where the ball is going to go. Ryan Poles drafting a punter illustrated that as much as anything. You don't make that pick unless you feel very comfortable in your job security, in your surroundings, and you know that you're supported in the organization. Ryan Poles picked a punter, and people could debate whether that's a good or bad move. They're not debating at Hallis Hall. They're high-fiving. They're high-fiving the fact that they got 3 players who are elite talents out of 5 that they drafted. The other 2 are really interesting projects with traits. Ryan Poles has put together a roster in year 3 that is ready to contend for a playoff spot. That says to me, they got the right guy. And so I wasn't maybe sure a year ago. And when they hired him, we didn't know anything about him. But right now, as we get ready for the 3rd season under Ryan Poles, you feel pretty good if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah, Ryan Poles is like the king of the castle right now, right? I mean, it seems like everything he touches, even he admitted, like he couldn't have thought everything would fall into place the way it did. I was really happy with it. It all worked out, and good for him. And like he said, now it's time to put in the work, right? Like the ingredients, you know, the old Bill Parcells, right? You know, buy the ingredients to cook, right? So they've got all the ingredients now. Let's see what the final product looks like.
Yeah, you know, I was over the weekend, I was going back and looking at the roster from the start of last season, and I was looking at the players that they've brought in and how you're going to make this team. And the competition is there at a lot of different spots. There is going to be good competition for people to make this football team. And that's a difference, too. You're not just going to keep people because they've been around here. You're going to have to earn your job. And, you know, that wide receiver room is unbelievable. And you look at it and you got four guys right now that you know are going to be on this team moving forward. And then there's going to be a battle for other spots. You look at the offensive line room and you added another tackle to the mix. He's going to make this team. And that's a third round pick. That's a guy that, you know, compares favorably with Braxton Jones. They got a starting left tackle out of the fifth round, and this guy has a lot of those traits in terms of size and, you know, fit, etc. So is he a better athlete? How quickly can he get up and running? He seems like he's healthy now. Had he played the year, maybe he'd be looked at differently. Maybe he would have gone a little bit earlier. He obviously has to work on some elements of his game and his strength, etc., but they got a game plan for him. I also think Austin Booker is going to help. I loved that they kept showing that clip of him at the Senior Bowl where he's basically bull rushing Jordan Morgan, the new Packers tackle. Knocks him into the quarterback. Wow. That was fun to just see that on replay from about 12 different people that were on my timeline with that play. Stuff like that's great. I think that we look at different elements of this draft and you know, you trace it back to what happened last year and trading that pick and Carolina then making the wrong selection, as it turned out, and you are rewarded with this unbelievable gift that draft ended up being. You know, when you count DJ Moore and you know, you got you traded down for the tackle, and you got yourself another corner, and you got yourself a quarterback, and maybe a generational talent, and you got yourself a fourth round pick out of there. Is that Torrey Thomas? And then you got yourself another second round pick on the way. So I mean, it was just the move that worked out, where you give up a number one pick and you wind up getting the number one overall pick back. It's just in arguably a better quarterback draft. So we'll see. We'll see how we look at this once all is said and done. But that was the sort of move that championship teams make, right?
They still have a 2025 second rounder to come next year.
Yes, I said.
So that's really
that's
like
still on the way.
You add that to DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Caleb Williams, and wow.
It's unbelievable.
It's a lot.
It's just incredible. So it's fun to talk about that draft, and it's fun to kind of look back on what the embarrassment of riches were. And it's also fun to look at the way the guy used his draft picks to bring in the players that they've brought in. Again, there's probably six starters next year that came, if you count the punter, that came via this year's draft.
Well, that's why you don't get too caught up, and I don't think many people did, about how few picks they had going in and why Ryan Poles didn't overreact to that. It was more of a quality over quantity draft, and he took advantage of and maximized what he did have. Montez Sweat, Bates, and Keenan Allen, that's not a bad draft haul when you add them to the five guys they got over the weekend.
And next year's draft, they've got the 2 second rounders. Obviously, they gave away a fourth rounder, but I want to say they got 3 sixth rounders. They got their own. They got one from Miami, and they got one for Justin Fields.
3 sixth rounders next year?
3 sixth rounders, one of which could be a fourth.
One of which could be a holder.
One of which could be a fourth round selection if Justin Fields can start.
Yeah, and we'll see about that.
All of a sudden, You know, Pittsburgh had a hell of a draft, by
Don't
the way.
Hold your breath.
They got a new offensive line, so mm-hmm. that would seemingly indicate that Fields is going to be able to run behind that
Maybe,
line.
Or seemingly would indicate Russell Wilson's going to be protected.
Yeah, Russell Wilson does look finished. Okay, 312-644-6767. We have a disagreement on that. Justin Fields is going to start half those games just to get him the fourth rounder. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Line drive hit to left. It drops in right in front of Ref Snyder. Second hit of the ball game for Pete Crow Armstrong.
That's outstanding. Three at-bats today, all three productive at-bats. He's got two RBIs. He's got a game-winning homer yesterday. And we all know about his defense.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's the Great Clip of the Week. It's brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great.
PCA
on Friday. Yeah, got it done, Mr. Dave.
He got it done. He's off to a pretty good start in this stint. You wonder what that means moving forward. I'm just glad he's hitting. That was the biggest concern. That's the biggest question. He looks like he belongs more now than he did in September. And you worried about his confidence. But getting that home run last week at Wrigley Field had to have been a huge weight lifted off his shoulders. And maybe he's now in a position to take advantage of that.
312-644-6767. It was a great weekend in Chicago sports. You only had the Friday win for the Cubs, and that Saturday was an embarrassment. They lost yesterday, but the Sox ended up with, doubling their win total. How does that happen?
3-6.
Against Tampa. Yeah. What the hell?
Didn't see that one coming.
And the Bears had a generational draft.
Bears had a very good weekend, one that we'll look to for years to come. Caleb Williams was everywhere with the Caleb Claw. He went to the Lakers game on Saturday. He's a celebrity, and he's got the whole league looking at the Bears right now, and I think that's going to continue. The Bears are going to be a fascination for a lot of different reasons. They might be pretty good, and they're going to have a quarterback that is, I think, you got a ton of charisma and personality, and that was obvious from day one.
Dave is on 290. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hope you're having a good start to the week. I was just, everything aside from the Bears draft, I was really excited to get Caleb. I went to USC, watched, all the games. But it was just nice to see a front office, look like a front office where, it sounds stupid, but, where the phone was getting passed from the GM to the coach to, a real president of football operations. And it just seemed like we kind of have everything very, very aligned in that perspective, and we're seeing things being built properly. And so I really enjoyed seeing that and feel comfort in that, and really looking forward to the season. Hope you guys have an awesome day. Thanks.
Thanks,
Thank
Dave.
You, buddy.
Appreciate it. Did you think that those calls, those draft calls, were fun to watch or hear?
I thought they were slightly cringy.
Kind of cringy.
A little bit.
I think that wasn't good. Ryan Poles had a great weekend. Ryan Poles has had a terrific offseason. I don't think those phone calls reflect that, obviously. Those are very cringy moments.
I don't know why, but Flusy is the most cringy guy.
Really?
I feel like Ryan Poles is correctly embarrassed. I feel like
he looks uneasy, right?
Yes,
he does.
He just doesn't. He knows look the like camera's he's enjoying on. It.
And yeah,
it's but I think Flusy seems like he's digging it and he's loving it, and it just and that's worse somehow. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It made me think to myself, they are eligible. We know for Hard Knocks, and George has been a hard no on that one, and doesn't want anything to do with it. Makes me feel like maybe they should avoid Hard Knocks.
I think they probably should. I think that would be okay with me. It right. might be entertaining to see some of the players, the stories right. explored. Certainly now with a punter from Australia and a quarterback who's a celebrity, all of the things would be interesting to see how they would interact, but there would be way too many cringe-worthy moments.
Let's squeeze in Crowley. Crowley's on the road. Dustin's guy.
Guys, happy Lee Elia Day.
Oh, is today Lee Ilya Day? Wow.
Yeah, 41 years. Oh, right, and I got to tell you, it was a disheartening situation last night. I was watching the game, and if you listen to the Fly the W podcast, you know I'm a huge Craig Counsell fan, but I had a lot of questions last night, like, why would you pinch hit Nick Madrigal for Matt Mervis? I know Matt Mervis hasn't had the greatest start.
133. Right?
What's Nick Madrigal hitting since April 6th?
You tell
118.
Me. 118. Okay.
118. So you have a lefty versus a – why would you go righty-righty matchup against Jansen? And then if you take a look at the bottom of the inning, you had a situation where you had runners at the corners, no outs, and Ian Happ is playing about 10 feet from the warning track. And so Dansby Swanson has to run and try to make an over-the-shoulder catch. Why with no outs and a runner at third is Ian Happ playing so deep?
Because O'Neill's going to hit the ball like to –
Yeah, next week.
To Nantucket. I mean, mm-hmm. He can hit the ball all the way out of the ballpark, and he has this year. I understand why he's playing deep.
All right. Thanks, Crowley. We're going to get to some Bears talk. 312-644-6767. What did you make of the draft? What grade are you giving out? I mean, is there anybody who didn't like the draft?
I think everyone had to love the draft. I feel like we were a little harsh with Crowley there. I feel like we're a little harsh.
I feel like you
Crowley.
Were a little harsh.
Okay,
with
I'm a little harsh.
Yeah, I didn't say
sorry,
a word.
Crowley.
Why don't you?
He was playing deep for a reason.
Apologize to Dustin.
You see
he's
how many,
the one who's going to hear
okay,
about it.
I know. I feel bad about that now, Dustin.
Oh, he's on his cell phone talking to Crowley.
I know. He's apologizing for me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's talk Bears.
Bears. 312-644-6767. It's the score.
They talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year. The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the job done. Right now, we have more losses than we have wins. The changes that have happened in the Cub organization are multifold. All right, they don't show because we're 5-14. And unfortunately, that's the criteria of them dumb 15% that come out to date baseball. The other 85% are earning a living.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.